Ladies and gentlemen, this is San Francisco Final. This is the story of a newspaper. This is the story of the daily record of a city, of people and events, and a search for truth. From the pages of the San Francisco Chronicle, a true story reported by Mike Rivera.
It has a latitude and a longitude, but the names can tell you better. The Gulf of the Farallones washes against it westerly, and north there's a Golden Gate. East, too, there's ocean water, called a bay now, so that San Francisco itself is the tip of a peninsula. And there's a part of it that centers on Grant Avenue and houses the largest Chinese community outside of China. City within a city. Not very many months ago, a story started here. A story that exploded all over the world. The fog tumbles over Twin Peaks from the ocean before it rolls up Mission Street. When it touches Fifth, any Chronicle reporter working cityside can look out of the window and see the edge of town turn gray. The way it did early Wednesday afternoon when I was working rewrite. I had on the headphones and was taking notes. Hank Peters on the Chronicle police beat was calling from the press room at the Hall of Justice.
They brought in this fella, this Chinese fella, 10 minutes ago. He beat up on his own brother.
Hurt bad?
He's in emergency hospital right now, unconscious. Doc Bauer says he's in pretty bad shape. Possible skull fracture. Definite concussion.
What were they fighting about?
I don't know. All I checked out so far is they got in a fight corner of Waverly and Washington. The boy knocked his brother down. The brother cracked his head against a fire hydrant.
Okay, wait a minute. Yeah, I got it. How about some names?
Boy in jail is Johnny Shen. That's S-H-E-N.
Mm-hmm.
23 years old. Brother's name is Lee. Doc says maybe a year or two younger. That's about it.
Chinese fighting in public. Never knew that to happen before.
Me neither, Mike, in 20 years. They always keep their trouble to themselves.
Yeah. You got an address?
Yeah, both boys live at 6012 Clay.
6012. Thanks, Hank.
Right.
Thelma, give me the clips on a John Shen or Lee.
Yes, Nana. What'd you want, Mike?
Clips on John Shen or Lee Shen. S-H-E-N, if you have any.
You're right. John Shen?
And Lee.
Well, I got one for both brothers. Same story, Mike. One clip for each.
Yeah, let's take a look. Sign me off for these, will you?
Yeah, sure.
Landfield top of the Abe. I might want to go 5 takes on it. What do you think?
Yeah, sure. It'll go a column one.
Yeah, anyway, I'll see how it goes. Hi, Mike.
Hi. You got a minute, Abe?
Yeah, sure.
What Hank just gave me. Maybe I better read you something first.
Okay.
Dated March 3, 1953. The head reads, Brother saves brother in Chinatown fire. Early this morning, John Shen saved his brother from suffocation when a two-alarm fire raged in a tenement at 6012 Clay Street. Shen, age 22.
City desk, Mellencott. Run it down for me, Charlie. Sausalito? Okay. Benay, 430 for the first. Johnny Shen, age 22.
Shen braved the smoke to enter the back room of the third floor and carried his brother Lee to safety. Lee, 2 years younger than his brother, had been overcome by the smoke, but was recovering at Chinese hospital. Cause of the fire was undetermined. Saved his brother's life, Abe.
Well?
A little while ago, he almost killed him in a fistfight on a sidewalk down in Chinatown.
What'd they fight about?
Hank said he didn't know.
You know, when I covered stories in Chinatown, I never knew him to bring trouble out where people could watch.
Yeah, that's the point I want to make.
Good point.
I'll go talk to Johnny.
All right.
Can Art handle those 2 stories I have hanging, Leewright?
Yeah. You say Johnny almost killed his brother?
That's right.
When you write it, try a new approach on it. It's been covered before.
What do you mean?
Genesis, chapter 4, verse 8. Cain and Abel.
I I took the elevator down to the street floor, stopped at the cigarette stand in the lobby, then walked out into the fog. I grabbed a cab and took the 10-minute ride up Stockton Street to Washington and down to Kearney to the Hall of Justice. At the end of the second-floor corridor is a room marked Chinatown Detail. I went in. Sergeant Lou Morrissey was at his desk. I told him I wanted to talk to the Shen boy.
McKelvey will bring him right down.
Thanks. You hear anything more on his brother?
Doc says critical.
Why'd they fight?
Who knows?
You talk to him?
I brought him in. He hasn't done anything but sneer since I picked him up.
Has he got any record?
Mm-mm. No, he's got a job. His boss says he's a fine boy. Show you something, though. Here's the sheet on him. Look, right here.
$2,000?
Mm-hmm. $2,000 bills. I didn't find them when I shook them down. They were taped to his body when they took him to the shower room.
Where'd he get all that money?
Bank of America in Chinatown.
Did tell you he did?
After a while, yeah. After we told him we'd throw a robbery charge at him on top of everything else. He said Bank of America in which branch? It checked out. John and Lee Shen, joint account. Up to last Monday, $2,016.23. Now, $16.23. Ask him about it and you get a stare. Oh, thanks, McKelvey. Sit down, Johnny, over there. Mr. Rivera here is a reporter from the Chronicle.
Hello, Johnny. How do you feel?
Look, downstairs, I told him that... Look, I've got nothing to say to you. Don't have to tell you a thing.
That's right.
So tell us, Sergeant, we're all finished.
Or just one thing. I read something about you before I came up here.
What?
About the fire, how you saved your brother's life. It's a brave thing to do.
You think so?
No, on account of you, he might die. You're in a lot of trouble, Johnny.
Go write about it.
All right, what do you want me to say?
What are you talking about?
Well, there are two ways I can write it. I can say you're a thief, you were taking off with your brother's money.
What other way would you write about it?
I could start from the beginning.
Like what?
Your story and your brother's. You live on Clay Street, don't you?
Yeah.
How long have you lived there?
As long as we've lived in San Francisco.
How long is that?
22 years. I was born in Beiping, China. I came here when I was a year old.
And your brother was born in this country?
Uh-huh.
Just a wild guess, Johnny. This fight, this hassle you had with Lee. Anything political about it?
Political?
Yeah, you know, Red China, Nationalist
No.
China. Where'd you go to school?
Chinatown.
Nam-Q school?
Lee did, not me. Just plain public school.
Tell me about the $2,000 bills.
I drew them out of the bank.
Why in $1,000 bills?
Easy to carry, not bulky. Look.
Yeah?
Get me out of here. I want to go back to my cell.
Okay, Johnny, let's go.
Why all of a sudden, Johnny? We're getting along fine.
Get me out of here, Sergeant.
Oh, wait a minute. Maybe I can help. Maybe... Johnny, if your brother dies, you might be charged with murder.
I want to go back to my cell.
Mike?
Now, you just want me to write it any way I want to. Is that right, Johnny?
Any way you want.
Kelly. Take him upstairs. Well, not much of a story, huh, Mike?
Grief's always a story. Thanks a lot, Lou. Hi, this is Mike. Give me the city desk, will you? Abe, Mike, on that Chinese story. Johnny Shen had $2,000 bills taped to his body. No, that's right. When they stripped him for a shower. No, Johnny drew it out of a joint bank account they had. I don't know, maybe... Well, hold on a minute, will you? Yeah, Lou?
Lucky you didn't call from outside or I'd have missed you.
Well, what's up?
Just had a call from emergency hospital. Lee Shen's dead.
Not murder, huh?
Mm-mm. Not suicide.
He told me Lee Shen had leaped from his hospital room window and killed himself. I gave it to Art Hoppe on rewrite. I told him I was going to check out the boy's family. It was a short walk from the Hall of Justice to the tenement at 6012 Clay Street. The Shen apartment was on the third floor, second door of a corridor where last year's fire had been charred into its walls and still showed.
Yes?
I'm Mike Rivera from the Chronicle.
Yes?
This is where Johnny and Lee Shen...
Yes.
I'd like to talk with you about them.
Come in, please.
This is my mother, Mr. Rivera.
Good evening.
What's in tongue?
My mother speaks only Chinese.
I see. Miss Shen,
I... Lai, Koi Bingo, one mut here.
San Man Fong Si, Ji Wan Mut.
Mung Koi.
My mother wants to know what you want. Your being here disturbs her. Earlier there were police.
I want to talk to you about your brothers. I'd like to know
what...
She wants to know about the $2,000. If you have it, she wants you to give it to us.
I told you, as a newspaper man, the police have...
Mama, John King, police.
So like, koi la fan, bengo de, koi la fan, bengo de.
Amma.
What's the trouble?
Nothing.
But you...
I said nothing.
Well, your mother's upset about the money and...
Well?
I don't know exactly. I'm thinking out loud. If she knows about the money, she knows Johnny drew it out of the bank and...
And that now the police have it. We're not wealthy. My mother's concerned about $2,000, that's all.
At a time like this?
What do you mean?
Your brother...
They won't do anything to Johnny. It was an accident.
I'm talking about Lee.
Well, he'll be all right.
Don't you know?
We were at the hospital about an hour ago. We looked in his ward and saw him. The doctor said he'd be all right.
Too late.
Amma,
what was that about?
Between my mother and me, Mr. Rivera, it doesn't concern you.
Listen, Lee is dead.
What?
Just a half hour ago, Miss Jenny jumped out of the window.
Mama.
Yeah.
Ali. Si alo. Si man. Si alo.
Lia.
Miss Shen, tell me something.
What?
Why did he kill himself?
Out of shame?
I don't understand.
Is that what you do, explore other people's shame?
All right, yes, it is.
So like, the phone phone call.
I'm a man, more young.
What did you say?
Listen to her. Does it need a translation?
We were talking about...
No more. I think you'd better go, Mr. River. Mother! Mother, what are you doing?
The phone phone call.
Take it. Take the letter, Mr. Rivera. Perhaps my mother is right. I don't know. Take it.
It's written in Chinese. How am I supposed to...
The letter came 10 days ago from China. It says my grandmother is sick. She might die unless we send $2,000. She needs medicine and surgeons. Please, get up. Go, please. Please, please.
She went to her mother, took her hand. They turned their backs on me and moved to a place where a candle burned against carved brass. I was an intruder. I left. I walked down the hill onto Grant Street. Fog was gone now, and the Chinatown neon lighted up the tourists and the brocade and the carved ivory. I thought about Mrs. Shen. The word she'd used was shame to explain why a son of hers had taken his own life. Then about the letter from China, then the $2,000 bills, and Johnny Shen's defiance. But mostly the letter from China. I felt I hadn't got a story at all, but only incidents, and the story was still going on even while I was thinking about it. Next morning, I checked with Abe Melnikoff.
Now, on the Shen story we had this morning, we need a good, strong follow. It's not cleaned up by any means.
What have you got?
Here. I'm waiting for you to come in to show it to you. Financial gave it to me a little while ago.
Chinatown Bank reports minor run. A period of 60 days, over $2 million.
Withdrawals from 500 to 2, 3,000. What do you think?
I'd say Johnny Shen had company.
If you take pencil and paper, you can figure he had practically all of Chinatown for company.
How come all those people need all that money all at once?
That's a good question. I got another one.
What?
Wonder if it's happening in other Chinatowns.
I'll call down to L.A., talk to Cassell, ask him.
I'll have it put on the Times wire, find out what's going on in New York.
West Falls in Baltimore. He can check out Chinatown there.
We'll get a reading on Chicago and Boston and Philly. Starts with a street corner fight, and we call all over the country. If this keeps rolling, it can be quite a thing.
Already is. Her mother's been told her son's dead. kind of November day that happens sometimes in San Francisco. Sunlit city and strands of cloud. November winds and freighters from the tropics tied up at the Embarcadero. 10 o'clock of a November day and pick up the home edition of the Chronicle. Crease it lengthwise and consider headline first as concerns a Senate investigating committee. And then the current communique about the current war. And spliced between the two of them, the death of Lee Shen. Continued on page 6. Now more legwork to be done. On Stockton Street in Chinatown, number 5143, house of the Chinese Community Service Union. Overlords of local Chinese affairs. All powerful, all discreet, all knowing. Tin Young saw me come into the office, looked at me for a minute, then beckoned me over.
I'm fairly busy, Mike. You come at not a very good time.
I want to talk to you, Mr. Young.
Not that I mind, for surely you must have a reason.
I have, Lee Shen.
That's not a reason.
The way he died and why he died.
You already know that.
We wrote what his sister told me. Lee killed himself out of shame. We wrote it, but didn't understand it.
And for that you've come to the Chinese Service Union? Because you don't understand the word shame?
Because the Chinese Service Union runs Chinatown and its people and everything in it. If you want to know anything, that's where you go.
I'll state it for you, Mike, gladly. Lee Shen jumped out of a window because Johnny Shen wouldn't give him grandmother money. It's a type of culture.
Then you know about the letter the Shen family got from China.
Mike.
And the run your people made on the bank here in Chinatown. You know about that, too. Why? Why are they doing it?
Mike.
Why, are there other letters from China saying somebody's grandmother is sick and please send a couple of $1,000 to make her well? Is that what's happening?
Listen to
me. Or maybe if I put it this way, blackmail. Blackmail
I'm
on a scale that...
I'm trying to tell you something.
Well, go ahead. Give me the official statement of the Chinese Service Union. I'll listen, I'll write it.
This you will not write.
What you're saying
is... I'm saying this is our statement. It concerns no one.
Except the people in this community, except the boy
who... Except the boy who was dead because of the letter. Official statement, us to you. What I've been trying to say to you. Don't make more people die.
I left. Follow up now. I walked down to Grand Avenue, the 900 block. The Chinatown branch of the Bank of America said they'd cooperate and furnished me with a list of the people who'd made sizable withdrawals during the bank run. I started to check it out. Uncle Chuen, 412 Jason Street. And be told that Mr. Chuen was away on a business trip, couldn't be reached. Then two doors down, Tom Shu, too busy to talk to anyone now. Next, around the corner to see Yu Ching, 108 Spofford Street, and a child on the sidewalk said no one was at home. And it went like that. It was mid-afternoon when I walked into Sam Shank's curio shop.
I can help you, mister?
I'm looking for Sam Shank.
I am Sam Shank. You're looking for some nice China bells?
No, thanks. I just want to talk to you, Mr. Shank. I'm from the Chronicle.
Oh. You want good Chinatown story? You will mention the shop of Sam Shank?
Sure, I will.
Thank you. Many stories of Chinatown. Many, many.
Did you know Lee Shen? Johnny Shen? Mr. Shang, something else I want to ask you. It's personal. Maybe I have no right.
I cannot know until you ask.
A couple of weeks ago, you withdrew $1,200 from the bank. A lot of other people took their savings out, too. My paper wants to know why.
You have talked with these other people?
I've tried. So far, I haven't been able to...
And you ask this personal question of Sam Shang?
Mm-hmm. But only because something's happening here that we don't understand. Why a boy killed himself after his brother beat him up. Why so many of
you... Also, you have talked with the Chinese Service Union.
Yes, I have.
And they told you... What did they tell you?
I could tell you they said for you to talk to me.
But you will tell me what they truly said.
That it was none of my concern. That Lee Shen was dead because of a letter from China. That others might die.
Including you?
I got that impression.
If it is the wisdom of the Chinese Service Union...
Yeah, wisdom. And your people being bled of every dime, of every dignity, they... Thanks, Mr. Shang.
Wait.
Yeah?
I had such a letter 2 weeks ago. Such a letter as was received by Mrs. Shen, the mother of Lee.
Go on.
It was from my sister, From Canton, my sister said she was very sick of a disease of the eyes, that she needed what monies I sent her $1,200.
Why have you...
3 days ago, I have received another letter from Canton. It wrote of something I did not know.
What?
My sister has been dead for a year.
It was late afternoon when the story began to shape itself. Just about the time the first edition was being trucked down the peninsula, there was a phone call from Cassell in Los Angeles.
Maybe it's nothing at all, Mike.
What have you got?
Just yesterday, a suicide. A Chinese named Ho Leong swallowed poison and died quietly in a restroom at Union Station.
Why'd he do it?
Your guess is as good as mine, but this is the first suicide down here in Chinatown in 23 years.
Well, anything on why he killed himself?
No suicide note, if that's what you mean.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a letter on him.
From China?
That's right, from a squat tower asking for $500.
Who would die unless the money was sent?
His uncle, from cancer, the letter said. How'd you know about it?
We get mail here, too. Thanks a lot.
Hey.
Yeah?
What's it all about?
I don't know yet.
No, I'm not writing for the papers anymore, Mike. What's it all about?
It's about blackmail.
Blackmail? All the way from China?
Not China. Red China. The next day was Wednesday, and the third item on the New York Times teletype told of a small run on the Mott Street Bank, the one most patronized by Chinatown. And later, a similar item from Chicago. Nothing from Boston, but in the afternoon there was a phone call from Baltimore. A man named John Tu Quo had robbed a supermarket of over $500, the first Chinese involved in a felony in Baltimore for over 5 years. Tu Quo gave himself up 3 hours later, but refused to say what he had done with the money. The pattern was clear. I went back to Mr. Young of the Chinese Service Union.
Tea?
No, thanks.
You won't mind if I do.
Mr. Young.
The tea isn't very good.
Listen,
no, you listen, Mike. I enjoy making comments, so indulge me. The tea isn't very good.
I'm sorry.
That's better. The pleasantries have been taken care of. Now you can talk to me.
These last 2 days...
He's been knocking on doors and asking questions and getting no answers.
Not quite.
Getting answers.
Some.
Not very good, you understand, but not bad. I can remember...
You want to hear some of the answers?
You're being rude again.
Oh, let's get off it now, Mr. Young. I'll stop bowing my head and you stop being so colorful.
It is time for that, isn't it?
I would say so.
Tell me what you know.
There was a run on the Chinatown Bank here in San Francisco. There was one in New York and Chicago.
In Boston, too.
We got no word from there.
It probably wasn't noticed. It's not a very big colony.
In Baltimore, a man named Tu Quo committed grand theft. He sent the money to China and ended his life by going to jail.
True. I've heard.
Down the street, Sam Shang got an anguished letter 2 weeks ago, supposedly from his sister in China, except she's been dead for over a year.
Also true.
And where it all started, as far as I'm concerned, the Shen family. Lee killed himself because his brother wouldn't let him send money to China. He died because he believed he was forsaking his grandmother.
What do you want from us?
All over every Chinatown in the country, people are getting letters from China.
I asked you, what do you want from us?
Tell me I'm not just guessing.
About what?
Your people are being blackmailed by Red China, is that it? Communist China, Soviet China, the money you send gives the enemy comfort. You're an American, Mr. Young.
As much as you.
Then...
An American as much as you. Believe it and try to understand what I'm going to tell you. We Americans here have ties to an old country, ties of blood and tradition. Because America is what it is, the end of a search, it has roots all over the world. The roots of us. Here are in China.
Yes.
How does a man forsake his home? How does a man forsake his sister, his grandmother, his father? How do you turn your back on your own blood's anguish? Listen, there's a proverb. Fire burns worse when it burns your own flesh. Listen to me. They have come to us with this burden. What shall we do, they ask. We must send the money, they say, or this one will die or that one. What shall we do, they ask. Give us time, we say to them, and we will think of something. But we must send money, they say, or they will be dying. So we tell them to send the money.
And when will it end?
Now. These papers contain names and addresses. Families here in Chinatown who have gotten letters and who have paid ransom. The blackmail is more than $2 million, Mike. It's this list and any help we can give you. Ask it of us.
Thanks.
Now permit me a question. What will happen now?
Story will be printed, it'll be read, and the world will know about it.
How the communists hold their people hostage and demand ransom from America.
That's the story.
But now it'll be in the papers and out in the open.
That's right.
And the ransom will stop. Take it out of darkness, and evil dies.
You just coined a proverb.
This has been a true story from the pages of the San Francisco Chronicle. In a moment, the story's follow-up. The story was headlined Red China Ransom and run on the front page. The wires picked it up and printed it all over the world. The government invoked the law that made it a crime to send money to communist China under the Trading with the Enemy Act. Before it was over, more than $5 million had been extorted. But the story broke it. San Francisco Final stars Jeff Chandler as Mike Rivera. It is written and directed by David Friedkin and Morton Fine and produced by Michael Meshikoff. Music is composed and conducted by Walter Schumann and arranged by Nathan Scott. Heard in the cast were Harry Bartell, Jerry Hausner, Olin Soule, Lillian Bayev, Virginia Gregg, Herb Butterfield, Vic Perrin, Barney Phillips, and Tony Barrett. The engineer was Raoul Murphy, with sound by Bud Tollefson and Wayne Kennedy.